All systems are go. So tonight we're going to have a little bit of a different program in terms of timing. We're going to start with a fairly short guided meditation. And then throughout the talk, there'll be times where we'll stop and do some meditation and contemplation. And then, especially, we're going to leave the last part of our time together to do a short ceremony for our dear teacher, Tai, who just this week, yesterday was the 2nd year anniversary of his death. And all this last week and this week, our ceremonies all over the world in Vietnam and Plum Village and the US to, honor and usher him in as a formal ancestor in many of the in all the lineages that he is part of, which is I'll explain about that later. So this is a very special evening, and so it's up to us to bring our best Buddha selves, to bring our Bodhisattva training, which means to me that we just let go of everything. Except for being the joy of being here together, the joy of sitting in peace together, the joy of nothing to do, nowhere to go, just enjoying having this deep appreciation for our teacher and all of our guides. So find a posture where for now you can be relaxed and alert, stable. And still, let's find our breath and let it lead us to a place of comfort. Let's enjoy breathing and sitting in stillness together. Just like in a meditation hall, we're in the actual meditation hall together. So our concentration inspires and enables our neighbors to be concentrated and still and peaceful. Breathing in, I'm aware of my in-breath. Breathing out, I am aware of my out-breath. Breathing in, I follow my in-breath all the way. Breathing out, I follow my out-breath all the way. Breathing in, I am aware of my whole body. Breathing out, I release all tension in my body. Breathing in, I remember why I am here. Breathing out, I remember why I am here. please stretch, hydrate, whatever you need to do, take care of yourself. So, dear friends, dear Sangha siblings, I'm so happy to be together once again in this new year for us, 2024. Increasingly, I'm realizing how precious it is to feel safe with others, to have a space that welcomes us to be ourselves, to bring all of ourselves to this moment. Somehow, by resting right here, remembering that we are enough as we are right now, and that we have the seeds of goodness at our core, brings us back to a place of safety, a place of possibility. So as we embark on this new year, we know it will not be an easy one. We know our world is filled with pain, upheavals, and challenges. Even now, today, we share this day with a presidential primary going on, not to mention the Oscar nominations coming out. There's all kinds of things going on in our world. It's likely we'll witness even more polarization and harm, even as we do our best to plant seeds of peace, harmony, and love. So as bodhisattvas in training, it's crucial that we not lose sight that this shadow brings opportunities for us helpers to respond in ways which will bring true change. We know that more than ever, our thoughts, our words, and our actions impact our world, and that we need each other to stay strong through the inevitable storms that lie ahead of us. So in our sanghas together, sharing together, we spent 2023 responding to the question, how can I help? In this way, we reminded ourselves that as aspiring bodhisattvas, we always have a purpose. We are always needed to show up in love. So we bring our friends that we got to know so well last year, our friend Manjushri, who brought us deep view, great understanding. Our dear one, Avalokiteshvara, our bodhisattva of great compassion. Sataparibhuta, who taught us to see everyone through the eyes of love. And Dharanamdara, our earth protector, who taught us how to preserve and take care of our precious planet. So they come along on the journey with us, teaching and guiding us as we continue our way. And then this year, we're going to focus on applying the teachings of the Buddha into our lives every day. So our transformation comes from the inside, and our natural response to life becomes that of a bodhisattva. Oh, thanks. We are so fortunate that Thay, our teacher, has crafted the practice this way. He taught us how to wake each morning in awareness of the preciousness of the day. He taught us how to make every step, every breath, and every thought one of sacredness. For life becomes sacred when we are in touch with our purpose and our brief, miraculous opportunity here. Here's a short poem by Dana Falds called Walk Slowly. It takes only a reminder to breathe, a moment to be still, and just like that, something in me settles, softens, makes space for imperfection. The harsh voice of judgment drops to a whisper, and I remember again that life isn't a relay race, that we will all cross the finish line, that waking up to life is what we were born for. As many times as I forget, catching myself charging forward without even knowing where I'm going, that many times I can make the choice to stop, to breathe and be, and walk slowly into the mystery. So we return to the basic practices which carry the heart of transformation. Some of us have been students of the Buddha for many years, and we've trained ourselves to live this way. We feel the deep yearning to become our best selves so we can be part of the healing of our world. We've been able to witness ourselves and our Sangha friends transform their difficulties and to begin to shine more brightly. Let's close our eyes and take a few moments to consider how we might have changed through the practice of the Dharma. Are you more at ease, less fearful than you used to be? Do you feel a peaceful refuge within you that you can access through coming home to your breath? Do you know how to be more present for others? Bring to mind ways your life has changed for the better because of your steadiness of practice. This is the contemplation you might want to consider further on your own. In formal sittings at the monastery, the teaching section starts with a verse called the Sutra Opening Verse, which everyone chants. And it goes like this. I'm going to read it, not chant it. The Dharma is deep and lovely. We now have a chance to see it, study it, and practice it. We vow to realize its true meaning. This verse contains all the guidance we need. We could spend all year working with just this verse. We know that the Dharma means the teachings of the Buddha, and it also means the natural law, the way things are in our world, reality. Reality is deep and lovely in its essence. We need to remember that this year. And we have a chance to see the Dharma. How rare that is, that through the confusion of our loud and complaining world, we have clear messages that teach us how to understand, how to love, and how to help. When we study the Dharma, which means not only to study books and listen to talks, but to study it in ourselves, in the ways we respond, in the way our minds work, and begin to unravel the knots of confusion and constriction in ourselves, we transform. We're so lucky to have many clearly outlined methods to do this. And we step in out into the day, and our life is our practice. We are our own living laboratory. We start our day with our intention to train as a bodhisattva, to use all the tools we've been given to be present. At the end of the day, we review what happened and how we trained. In this way, we get insight and understanding about how to navigate a life of love. From here, we set our intention for the next day. Will you go on this daily journey with me and with our Sangha family? Shall we commit to spending this year as bodhisattvas in training every day? It's likely that many of you already do this, that you have a daily practice of mindfulness in multiple forms, enjoying silent sitting meditation, appreciating your food before eating, stopping for a few breaths throughout the day. And probably none of us does this every moment. We have times we get caught up in the stories and dramas of life. We start believing the play that's on the stage. And then we believe in the accuracy of our memories, which have been flavored and sculpted by our conditioning. and they turn into beliefs we hold about good and bad, right and wrong. And then we become stuck in duality, which can lead our good hearts to shut down in despair. But seeing, studying, and practicing the Dharma is our fast track out of this confusion and despair. It gives us the keys to operate freely in the most difficult situations. By remembering these keys, we can step up in love rather than adding to the energy that takes sides and that separates us. So first we show up. We give our full attention to this moment, which allows us to let go of the constant chatter in our minds. We learn to rest in stillness, which is always available to us. As we rest there, we release our fears, our woes, our disappointments and dissatisfactions. We release our ideas and our agendas. We get in touch with our bodhicitta, our mind of love, and remember that our essence is limitless goodness, that this is who we are. We experience that reality is always perfect, just as it is. And then we step into our world. The first key to remember is that the nature of our world, the stage that our play is set on, is a world of duality. This is not a mistake. Our expressions of love can only come from immersing ourselves in this world, in this life, not running from some parts and towards others. We won't be successful if we either get caught in the story or try to turn away from the parts of it we don't like. The Bodhisattvas show us a different way, a way of choosing to be intimate with all things, no matter whether they're to our liking or not. Second, we are here to grow. And we can only grow through being challenged, like the ship captain who can only become as great as the storms he's faced. We need to face head on our tendency to only move towards comfort, towards what we know, and use our curiosity and our courage to explore the edges of our comfort zones, the places of uncertainty. And third, our culture has taken great pride in the belief that we are individuals, that we should be self-sufficient, which creates separation. This makes us unequipped to move toward difficulty, as how can we face these obstacles alone? We know that not one of us alone has the ability to make our world safe, to offer everyone well-being. From the place of separation, our desire to help seems futile. But in reality, we are part of something bigger. We are each a tiny piece of earth and sky, and our gift is to enjoy the wonder of being part of the fabric of love we all create together. In this way, as part of the whole, there is nothing we cannot do. So we remind ourselves and one another that first our purpose here is to experience and express love. And our ability to do this can only come through our limitations being challenged, which leads to growth, to opening. Instead of fighting or resisting challenges, we open our hearts and see what comes next. Most important, we can only do this together. And on the way, we dance and sing and play together, as joy and beauty are the vital nourishment we need to keep on the path. So a few of you old-timers might remember that about 13 years ago, I had a sudden serious health challenge, being diagnosed with the rare and aggressive cancer with a poor predicted outcome. Held in the loving arms of the Sangha, it was the most powerful experience I've had in teaching me how to love more broadly and deeply. It was also nuanced so that I had a choice of whether to stop my treatment after the initial surgery or to go through the whole process of chemotherapy and the long-term effects of that. There was no clear medical opinion on which course to take. So it was really up to me. Of course, there was a part of me that delighted at the prospect of sliding through with just surgery and not having to go through all the rest of it. And another part of me knew that the long process was where the learning lay, in going into the trenches of illness and healing and all that happened there. I chose to take the longer path, and that's where the jewels of transformation lay. This fall, I've had another medical challenge as I embarked on knee replacement surgery in October. Immediate recovery was going almost miraculously until 3 weeks later, an infection was detected. There's a small risk of infection with these kinds of surgeries that the medical community can't seem to eliminate, and I was one of the few who succumbed to it. So instead of sliding through with a 2-hour outpatient surgery followed by rest and rehab at home, I went into the hospital for a second surgery and 3 days of care, followed by 6 weeks at home getting infusions of antibiotics every 12 hours. I'll continue to deal with long-term side effects as my life continues. Now, these are sacred wounds, and we need to take care of them with loving attention. None of us gets out of here unscathed. The reason I tell this story is that it has the flavor of the same flavor of choice as my cancer process 13 years ago. After learning about the infection and what I needed to do, I had this image of me bouncing down the road, ponytail flying, when a hand reached out to grab my ponytail and a big voice said, "Not so fast, Missy," reminding me that though I was tempted to slide through relatively unscathed, my bodhisattva heart longed for the whole package of gifts and challenges, of learning and growing. More practice in letting go, in uncertainty, and in cherishing both the challenges and the loving support all around me. So our theme this year is to welcome Maitreya, the Buddha of love, to teach us. Maitreya is the next Buddha to be born. It's said that only once every 2,000 years or longer does a Buddha manifest in our world. Shakyamuni Buddha came almost 2,600 years ago, so we are due for another Buddha to show up. However, our teacher Thay said that he believed that Maitreya would not manifest as an individual like Shakyamuni did, but as a community. That is why Thay doesn't have a single successor, but our whole community is his continuation. Many times Thay told us that we are his continuation. Maitreya is the Buddha of love. All the bodhisattvas we got to know last year have special qualities that teach us how to love more deeply and more potently. So we'll be drawing on what we learned last year and continue to develop the skills of loving that they have taught us. Our bodhisattva guides are right here surrounding us as we invite Maitreya to come show us how to take the next step in becoming true human beings. Each 2-month period, I'll offer one or more skills of loving to look into deeply and to practice, along with suggestions on how to develop that skill. It will be your choice how to interpret that practice, how best to develop that skill in your life. Look for ways that show up in your life to hone that skill. Welcome the opportunities, especially if they come dressed as obstacles. We've been practicing our skills of not knowing, of don't know mind, of not believing our perceptions, of listening deeply, of letting go of judgment, of nourishing our own hearts with beauty and gratitude. We have so many skills already. We're ready to take the next step into crafting a life whose only aspiration and only response is love. So why did Thay say that Maitreya would manifest as a community instead of as an individual? Maybe because this is the medicine for our time. We've taken the belief in separation to the limit, and it has resulted in our polarized world. We need to focus all our energy on living lives of interbeing. We need to approach each day with a deep understanding that we are a family of love. And we need to remember that we need each other, that our strength and possibilities are in our connections, that only together can we see the path forward. That is called the wisdom of Sangha I. So to help build and deepen our local community here, our Sangha family here, we're offering an additional practice for the year of joining a buddy system. And this just means that you have a partner to check in with as we build our skills of loving. It's up to you and your buddy how you want to design your process, but generally it's some way to get to know and regularly check in with each other on how your practice is going and how you can inspire and support each other. Whether by phone, online, or in person, you set up how and when you want to check in. This is a way to develop wholesome friendships, a way to give and receive support and encouragement to become our best selves. It contains the seeds of gentle accountability. And a message to you introverts like me, you might want to consider to override your tendencies here and try this one-time offer. If you come with curiosity, in the spirit of experimentation, and letting go of expectations, this can be a great way to try out your bodhisattva skills in a living laboratory. Recently, I heard about a friend who died in my community from cancer about a year ago. And she had a sign up at the front of her apartment that said, if you wanted to visit her, you just signed up. And anyone from the community could visit, even till the very end of her dying process. I find this remarkable, as in my vulnerable times, I've needed to set very clear boundaries about who I was able to be around. But my friend Susan seemed to have no expectations and found each person fascinating, no matter who they were. She was very evolved. She got the most out of being with others. So if you're interested in having a buddy to practice with, you contact Nancy Lynn, and if you have something to write on, I will give you her email address. It's nlynn48@gmail.com. So nlynn@gmail.com. So names of those who are interested to participate will be gathered over the next week. So you have 1 week to contact her, and then buddies will be assigned and notified. And probably partway through the year, we'll offer another opportunity to join or maybe to change buddies. So jump in if you'd like to. Nothing's required, nothing's mandatory. It's just an opportunity. And then in Ashland, we'll have an in-person day of mindfulness on June 8th, and everyone's invited. So we welcome Maitreya to come teach us how to love and how to become a beloved community. We need this medicine urgently. It's very clear. We cannot wait dallying around in our illusion of separation and control. This is the year we need to step up and respond to life as a bodhisattva. And as we look at how we can do this in our life and in our local community of friends here, we also have enormous resources that are already supporting us. There is our worldwide Plum Village community with monasteries and lay people all over the world doing this work. Together, we're making significant impacts, though it's rarely reported in the news. Our planet is safer. Our connections are stronger. There's healing and help being given to those in need. During the Vietnam-American War, our Plum Village brothers and sisters would go into the heart of the conflict where a village had been totally destroyed and offer a tea ceremony to the villagers. It was a sacred time, a blessed moment when they could stop, sit together, and give their full attention to remembering and enjoying what they still had, a cup of tea and each other. This small moment in their lives fueled their ability to repair their village and renew their hopes. These folks are our ancestors, who continue to teach us how to respond in love, in even the most dire circumstances. We have a lineage of ancestors 2,600 years long, of hearts who carry this practice and have passed it on to us. And now it's our turn. We need to remember that we aren't left here alone. They're right here with us, encouraging and guiding us. Many times, Thay would remind us that though the Buddha was the realization of love, he doesn't have a body anymore, so he needs us to offer our bodies so that he can manifest. Will you offer your body so the Buddha can show up in our world? In the Plum Village tradition, a teacher who dies officially becomes an ancestor 2 years after death. Our teacher, Thay, the latest in our lineage to die, becomes an ancestor this month. There are formal ceremonies happening now that we can join online, as some of us did when Thay's death ceremonies happened two years ago. If you haven't connected yet, you can go to the Plum Village website and find out where all the opportunities to connect are. When I spent hours watching and participating in the ceremonies when Thay died, I experienced our worldwide Sangha as an anchor, not only for me, but for the whole world. The grace, the gentleness, the steadiness and the beauty with which it was performed grounded the chaos of the change in love. I encourage you to participate in witnessing this remarkable expression of goodness through these ceremonies. So this is how we usher Maitreya into being. This is how we open ourselves to be stewards of love. We get caught in our own dualistic approach to life, and suddenly one of our bodhisattva friends appears in our heart, and we know how to respond in a way that will bring healing instead of more separation and suffering. Maybe you're watching the news and feeling some despair over a situation that seems to be worsening. Then suddenly, in you, there is some clarity, there's some compassion, there's knowing how to respond, knowing which flavor of love is most appropriate here. You have just offered your body to Maitreya. You have become a bodhisattva. Instead of being sucked up in the story of duality and separation, you have witnessed the suffering with your heart open and know how to hold it in love. When love meets suffering, it becomes compassion. And then our question naturally arises, how can I help? When you are able to skillfully open your heart this way, creative solutions and possibilities for living differently appear. When I was in the hospital in November, one early morning my nurse came in and she seemed a little upset. She told me that she had started her day with a very difficult patient who was a former nurse who was experiencing confusion and didn't want to take any of her medications. This patient told my nurse that she was a terrible nurse. I sympathized with my nurse and then said, "You know, she's probably really scared. And sometimes when you're scared, you lash out in anger at the person you feel safest with." When my nurse realized that she might be the safe person for this scared patient, her shoulders relaxed, her heart opened, and she was able to remember that this too is part of her work of helping her patients in their difficulties. Just a slight change of view, a glimpse of seeing the love underneath the pain and fear, and we can be the anchor of goodness that others need in that moment. I was able to be that for my nurse, and she understood that she was that anchor for her patient. And for that moment, I felt blessed to be in that hospital bed. So during each of our six sessions together this year, plus our day of mindfulness, we will look more deeply at one or two qualities the Bodhisattvas show us as crucial methods of expressing love skillfully and effectively. And from these qualities, we'll choose practices to apply them to our lives and use them as tools for the following 2 months. The practices are suggestions only. They are starting points to experiment with. You may not know it, but creativity has always been at the heart of our Plum Village tradition. And singing, dancing, poetry, art, and all ways of creative expression are encouraged. The understanding here is that teachings and practices are not something we take on from the outside. They are already within us in that core of basic goodness we all have. We are just inviting and encouraging our authentic, unique self to come out and play. We turn our life into practice. We don't do practice, we are practice. So because we've used much of our time tonight setting the context for the year's practice, we'll explore just one quality of love tonight. That is intention setting. I've certainly heard a lot about this skill recently. You know, at the start of the year, there it starts with New Year's resolutions, and then there's intentions and goals. So we'll get to see how we can use it to become more powerful bodhisattvas. So let's take a little stretch. And if you want to have a drink, just smile to your body. Now, when I was sick with an infection a month ago, part of the time my body was fighting so hard, I didn't have any energy to do anything else. I just lay there, trusting my body to do its work, but I was somewhat dismayed over my condition. I realized that I'd always thought that my breath was the most precious thing, that without breath I would be dead, so of course breath is most important. But at that moment, I was experiencing what probably all of us have experienced during some kind of illness, maybe like flu, when it feels as if your life force, your energy, is completely gone. I remembered that my life force holds not just my physical energy, but also my mental, emotional, and spiritual energy, the motivation for living. Without this energy, what was the value of my life? When my energy started returning, even for short periods, I was so happy and so grateful. Just being able to start the laundry or empty the dishwasher was precious. Now, when I feel an impulse to do something, I don't take it for granted. I bless the life force running through me. This energy is the material, the medium we use as artists of life. And we can see that how we use our life force impacts our world. We change collectively through choosing individually how to use our energy. When we're in touch with the life force running through us, connecting us to everything, the power of our purpose becomes much stronger. We're more fully present in the moment and are more awake to how to respond. Our intuition is enhanced, so our choices of what to do become more potent. This is the power of intention. The Buddha taught that there are four nutriments that feed all of us, our bodies, minds, and consciousness. And what we take in is what we become. The first nutriment is edible food. The second is everything that comes in through our senses. And the fourth is consciousness, or our whole environment. The third that I want to talk about now is called volition. It's a word we don't use much these days, but it means our motivations, what propels us to take action. It provides the direction and, to some extent, the energy for our lives. What drives us to do something? It can come from our ego needs or our perception of a situation. But in this sense I'm talking about here, it doesn't come from those things. Volition is a deeper response to life, a spiritual response. When it comes to fruition, it can be described as a vow. To touch on our deepest desire, our deepest motivation, we need to get beyond our thinking mind. We need to dwell in the stillness of our heart and allow our response to come from a place of interbeing, a place of surrender. This is action that comes from insight and letting go, from connecting with the all. So we ask ourselves, what is my deepest desire? Let this be a koan for you for the next 2 months. A koan is a riddle that you don't answer with your mind. You answer it with your whole being. You carry it around with you 24/7 and let the answer arise from within you. This deep desire that you carry will help you set your intention. Intention is the rudder, which sets the direction our energy takes. If our intention is conscious, we can powerfully direct it where we choose. If our intention isn't conscious, our energy will go in the direction of our mind's default mode, which usually contains the seeds of fear, anxiety, and despair. Then we wonder why we feel so bad. Setting a conscious intention sends our energy in the direction we desire, and we become an agent of healing. I suggest we make conscious intention setting a primary practice for this 2-month period. So this is how we become masters of intention setting. First, we remember and acknowledge the power of knowing what we want and having a clear direction. In our context, we focus on our spiritual intentions and aspirations, our deepest desire for our beloved community, our precious world. When we focus our energy and turn it toward the world we want, it is multiplied manyfold as it goes out into the universe. This is what we do together at the end of our practice every week when we dedicate the merit that we've generated to all beings everywhere. The merit is our spiritual energy, our love, and we open our hearts to release it into limitless space and time. Contemplating and even visualizing our spiritual intention generates a storehouse of energy. And it also helps us come to peace with what is, knowing that we are doing our best to be part of the healing and transformation. When I was going through the worst of my chemotherapy treatments 13 years ago, and my predicted outcome wasn't great, I would wake in the middle of the night and find fear had shown up. I learned to breathe and come back to my body, and then I would gather all the energy of that fear and say out loud a prayer for my healing, shouting out to the universe what I wanted, fueled by that great energy that manifested as fear. After that, I felt relief and was able to go back to sleep. This is intention setting, using all our focused energy to visualize what we want. And then with the power of our emotions and our longing, we send our prayer out into space, knowing there are ancestors, guardians, and guides listening and ready to respond. And then we let go. When we nestle into the heart of our bodhicitta, let it rise from within us and experience that this is who we truly are, then our intentions are in alignment with the harmony of life. Things begin to come to us, and knowing grows in us that how we are using each day has meaning and purpose. Our actions don't necessarily change, but we begin to see the potential in love and healing in the smallest of our actions. This is what Thay taught us as he sat and walked and ate among us. We are walking the path of love. So during this first practice period, I invite you to spend some time each day remembering your intentions for this life. Please find the ways of doing this that most suit you and that allow your creativity to flow. Certainly at the beginning of every sitting period, remember your intention for sitting. Then throughout your day, experiment with various ways of cultivating this intention. You might want to journal or walk in nature or write a poem or a song. The best times can be the in-between times, between tasks, walking through a doorway, changing clothes, getting up from a chair. At these moments, train yourself to pause, come home to your breath, and ask yourself, is what I'm doing right now in alignment with my intention? You don't even have to answer the question. Just allow it to be present. Give it a place of honor and see what happens. Is what I'm doing right now in alignment with my intention? One practice I suggest for the next 2 months is to commit to making and eating one meal each day or each week in mindfulness. Preparing and eating a meal mindfully can bring your awareness into the whole cycle of life. Here are some things that happen during a mindful preparation and meal eating. Start by getting in touch with why you chose this particular food to enjoy right now, if you're the one making the meal. Before you start the preparations, contemplate where this food came from, all the beings and elements supporting your life right now. And then who taught you to prepare this food? Let gratitude fill you for all these people who taught you to cook and prepare food. Slow down and enjoy the ability to use your hands to chop, peel, and stir. Then as you sit down to eat, dedicate this precious meal to all those who are hungry, sending wishes that all have physical and spiritual nourishment. During the meal, return your mind to the simple act of chewing, swallowing, and digesting, of exploring the taste sensations and the textures of the food. At the end of the meal, spend a few minutes feeling the fullness in your belly, how your hunger has been satisfied, what it feels like to have enough. And after the meal is done, enjoy the honor of cleaning your kitchen, of washing the baby Buddha as you wash your dishes. Our need for nourishment each day keeps us dependent on and connected to all of life. Can we remember our need for this connection through the sacred meal practice? This will gently peel away our belief in independence and replace it with the insight of interbeing. In this simple way, we transform our lives. If you have a buddy, as I said, you can set up a time each week to share your process, your insights, and your questions. You might want to start with one method of practice and continue it daily for the whole 2 month period. Or you may want to practice one way for a week and then try another method. Whatever practices you choose, choose them intentionally and give your life force, your energy to that commitment. Then use your creativity and your curiosity to discover ways of practicing that delight and speak to you, that may challenge you and also perhaps comfort you. Please embrace your practice in the spirit of openness, dedication, and lightness. Please give all your heart to it. So it's 7 o'clock right on the dot. And this is a time where we will have another moment of stretching and hydrating, and then we'll go into our ceremony. So find your Buddha posture, stable, light, relaxed, and at peace as we listen to one sound of the bell. So, dear friends, we'll spend this last part of our time together joining our worldwide Sangha in honoring our dear teacher Thay and formally inviting him into our lineage of ancestors. If you happen to have brought a candle, you might want to light it now. This practice is for us, of course, to comprehend the wealth of comfort and confidence of having such great ancestors present with us, helping and guiding us, especially when we ask for it. Learning to turn to our ancestors for support and for joy is a deep practice, transcending time and space. Our life expands as we realize we have resources way beyond this historical dimension. So I'd like to read this from the Plum Village website to give us a little more understanding of what's going on. This moment of honoring Thay as an ancestral teacher is an opportunity to connect with our spiritual roots. The teachings and practices of Thay and the Plum Village Sangha are part of an unending flow from the time of Buddha Shakyamuni. Each generation of teachers and practitioners have kept the Dharma and mindfulness trainings alive through their lived experiences, insights, and continual response to the needs of their time. Thay belongs to the 42nd generation of the Lamte Meditation School, Linji Rinzai, the 8th generation of the Lu Quan Dharma line, and is the 5th ancestor of the Tu Hue Temple in Vietnam. An ancestral status was usually made by direct transmission via speech or in writing by the previous ancestor to the next one. Thay received his ancestral status by writing in his teacher's will, appointing him as the next abbot of Tu Hue's root temple. Shortly after Thay's death, Sister True Dedication made these comments. Plum Village is like a forest, a refuge, and a place of refreshment for all those who come to it. Thay was a huge tree in that forest. Though his tree has fallen, it continues to nourish the soil so that new trees may grow. Thay has left us all his teachings, all his research, all his guidance, all his ideas for how we should organize and make decisions, and also all of his dreams for the work that he wanted us to do in the wild. It's a very rich earth. So we'll spend about a few minutes in silence, remembering our dear teacher. And then Tim and Jan, the parents of Tiger Mountain Sangha, we'll recite the 5 awarenesses, followed by a poem by Thay. And after that, Robert Sorrell will offer a short reading, which was written by Thay. So please bring all your loving energy, all your mindfulness and gratitude to this time. Sit beautifully like the Buddha in training that you are. Receive the blessings of being part of a family of wise and loving beings. Tim and Jan.
The five awarenesses. We are aware that all generations of our ancestors, including our spiritual ancestors, and all future generations are present in us. We are aware of the expectations that our ancestors, including our spiritual ancestors, our children, and their children have in us. We are aware that our joy, peace, freedom, and harmony are the joy, peace, freedom, and harmony of our ancestors, including our spiritual ancestors, our children, and their children. We are aware that understanding is the foundation of love. We are aware that blaming and arguing never help us and only create a wider gap between us, that only understanding, trust, and love can help us change and grow.
Interbeing by Thich Nhat Hanh. The sun has entered me. The sun has entered me together with the cloud and the river. I myself have entered the river, and I have entered the sun with the cloud and the river. There has not been a moment when we do not interpenetrate. Before the sun entered me, the sun was in me, and the cloud in the river. Before I entered the river, I was already in it. There has not been a moment when we have not interbeen. Therefore, you know that as long as you continue to breathe, I continue to be in you.
Contemplating Limitless Life by Thich Nhat Hanh. I see that this body, made of the four elements, is not really me, and I am not limited by this body. I am the whole of the river of life, of blood ancestors and spiritual ancestors, that has been continuously flowing for thousands of years and flows on for thousands of years into the future. I am one with my ancestors and my descendants. I am life manifesting in countless different forms. I am one with all peoples and all species, whether they are peaceful and joyful or suffering and afraid. At this very moment, I am present everywhere in this world. I have been present in the past and will be there in the future. The disintegration of this body does not touch me. Just as when the petals of the plum blossom fall, it does not mean the end of the plum tree. I see that I am like a wave on the surface of the ocean. I see myself in all the other waves, and I see all the other waves in me. The manifestation or the disappearance of the wave does not lessen the presence of the ocean. My Dharma body and spiritual life are not subject to birth or death. I am able to see my presence outside this body, even in the present moment. 80 or 90 years is not my lifespan. My lifespan, like that of a leaf or of a Buddha, is immeasurable. I am able to go beyond the idea that I am a body separate from other manifestations of life, in time and in space. Mother Earth in me, smiling to the most beautiful planet in our solar system. I am a child of the sun. I am a star. I am my ancestors, playing my part in the immortality of my ancestors. Smiling to the stars and galaxies in me, playing my part in the immortality of stars and cosmos. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. I am free from being, free from non-being.
So, dear friends, we embark on another year together. Let's make it the best year yet. We can do this because we know that there are always enough conditions for happiness, that our joy is not dependent on outside circumstances. When we let go of our need for life to be a certain way, we can become a living laboratory of practice and welcome whatever comes in the spirit of experimentation, of training and resilience and equanimity. The more we rely on our beloved community for help and support, the easier it is to do this. As our bodhicitta blossoms, our hearts meet suffering with love, and our natural response is to open our arms. So, does Peaceful Refuge Sangha have any announcements? I believe that Tim has an announcement. Tim?
Yeah. Thank you, Barbara. Just a reminder for the Tiger Mountain folks, we'll, since this is still part of our practice time, we'll open the Tiger Mountain Zoom Do in just a couple minutes, and we can gather there and continue as you wish.
So we'll close as we do with special. Dog has to get in the picture. With a special dedication, remembering all that we've been given, all that we've experienced, and all the need that there is in the world for people to know how to become happy and safe and free. So we offer our merit. May the merits of this practice benefit all beings and bring peace. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Have a wonderful 2 months of practice. We'll see you again in March.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Barbara.